Today is First Saturday, so we honor Our Lady today. And in the Gospel, we start with John the Baptist, continuation from yesterday's Gospel, where John saw Jesus receiving the Holy Spirit after his baptism. So we have these two figures, Mary and John the Baptist, who were in Advent identified as Advent figures, people who prepared the way for the coming of the Lord. But now we're in the Christmas season, and we have Mary and John the Baptist again, or still. So they're also Christmas figures. And I'd like to reflect a little bit on both of them, because they help us understand how we too are Christmas figures, how we too are to receive the coming of the Word made flesh, Jesus. But before we get to John the Baptist and Mary, let me say a word about this morning's first reading, another selection from the first letter of St. John. Because in this letter, John speaks very starkly about the difference between the sinners and the righteous. Sinners are the children of the devil, and the righteous are the children of God. And he makes it sound as if those two categories are absolute, which is rather disturbing to us who are sinners and feel like we don't qualify as children of God if we use his standards. I think we should take this to be not simply a division between all those who have sinned and those who have never sinned, because if we do it like that, that leaves Mary by herself in the category of the children of God, and all the rest of us end up in the category of the children of the devil. So I don't think that's what John is meaning. John understands that sinners are set free by Jesus Christ, by the mercy of God, by the redemptive sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And sinners who repent and are set free are transferred from the category of the children of the devil into the category of the children of God. That's where we are, I hope. I hope we're all repentant sinners, not attached to our sins. Because if we remain committed to sin, if we don't repent, if we don't want to change, then we do place ourselves in the category of the children of the devil, outside the power, the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. So that's, I think, how we're to understand this, that sin is the problem. So if we're embracing sin, then we have a big problem. If we reject sin and repent of sin, then we don't have a problem, because God has defeated sin already. When it comes to John the Baptist, and especially the Blessed Virgin Mary, we're talking about people who participated in the victory over sin. Mary's the most obvious, because she never sinned, and she was prevented or preserved from sin from the moment of her conception. In the case of John the Baptist, well, we don't know if he ever sinned. One tradition is that he was sanctified in the womb, because he received the Holy Spirit while he was still in the womb of Elizabeth, and that he never sinned. That we don't know, but he's certainly a person of very great holiness and surpassing triumph over sin, which is why both John the Baptist and Mary are great examples for us in the Christmas season. So let's look at John for a moment. John here is doing his ministry of baptizing people, calling them to repent of their sin and preparing them for the coming of the Messiah. And he has said many times, I'm not the one. John attracted lots of attention, and they thought maybe he was the Messiah. Over and over, he said, no, I'm not the one. The one who comes after me is the one. So prepare the way for him. In yesterday's Gospel, John, it says, saw Jesus and identified him as the one. And he pointed him out. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one. He said, John is pointing to Jesus, as he always does. He was pointing to Jesus before Jesus arrived, in the sense that he was preparing the way. And when Jesus comes on the scene, he points to him and says, this is the one. Behold the Lamb of God. And then John said in yesterday's Gospel, I saw the Spirit come down on him like a dove. I saw this happen. Now, the different Gospels have different versions of what happened at the baptism. So I don't know how many people saw the Holy Spirit come down on Jesus like a dove. Maybe many, maybe few. At least John saw it. And some gospels say that people heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is my Son." So this, we're going to celebrate this event a week from tomorrow on the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. But we're already anticipating it by listening to John's testimony. Oh, this is the one. This is the one who's filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the one who's the Son of the Father. This is the one who is the Redeemer of the world. This is the Messiah, the Christ. So that's John's mission, to point to him. He doesn't get in the way of the work of Jesus. He facilitates it. He makes it possible. And that's why in today's gospel, two of the disciples of John hear what John says, and they follow Jesus. John is not keeping his disciples for himself or preventing them from following the Lord. This is the fullness of his apostolic efforts. I want people to follow that one. I don't want to keep them. So it's from the perspective of John, it's a big success if people will follow Jesus. It's not a loss to him, which shows how pure, how selfless John is. It also shows us how a person who is genuinely dedicated to the will of God becomes an instrument of God for people to find and follow Jesus. And this is how it's supposed to work. We don't get in the way, we become servants of God. Immediately after we hear the two disciples of John turning and following Jesus, one of them, who is Andrew, the first of the apostles, Saint Andrew, he immediately goes and does the same for his brother, Simon Peter. So Andrew doesn't keep Jesus to himself. He immediately becomes a means by which his brother will meet Jesus. So he goes to Simon Peter and he says, "We have found the Messiah." Very bold declaration of faith. Very soon he realized Jesus is the Messiah. And then he brought Peter to Jesus. And then it was up to Jesus to tell Simon that he has a new name now, Cephas, Peter. Because you see what happens. This is a kind of a well-established pattern. People who are really dedicated to God become instruments for leading others to God. But now let's turn again to the Blessed Virgin Mary. We celebrated her on Wednesday, Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. And now we're honoring her on the first Saturday of the month. So in order to get past the objection that people always bring up, that too much attention to Mary gets in the way of Jesus, let's look at how she actually does things. So that we won't think that, because it doesn't make any sense. No one ever thinks that too much attention on John the Baptist gets in the way of Jesus, because he didn't allow that. And John the Baptist is much more prominent in the Gospels than Mary is. But no one says, "Oh, John the Baptist, he's a distraction. He's an interference. We should be focusing only on the Lord." No, everyone understands John's role is entirely given to preparing for Jesus. Well, so is Mary. So is Mary. We'll see this tomorrow on the Feast of the Epiphany. When the Magi arrive, remember, when the shepherds arrived, they found the child Jesus in the manger. But when the Magi arrive, where's the child? With Mary. They find the child with Mary, his mother. You'll hear it in tomorrow's gospel. It's an indication of what Mary does. Mary is the one who presents Jesus to us, who makes it possible for us to find Jesus. Just as she did for the Magi, she does for everybody. One of the best indications of Mary's putting herself at the service of Jesus is at the wedding feast at Cana. You know this story. When she sees the difficulty, she tells Jesus about it, and then she says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." That summarizes Mary's whole mission. Do whatever he tells you. There's no way she can get in the way of Jesus because she's always pointing to him. She's always presenting him to us. Now, what does this mean for us in the Christmas season? This is what we are to do too. To receive Jesus, to welcome him, to celebrate his birthday, to celebrate his manifestation, and then to become instruments so that other people can see and know and follow him. If we know something so valuable, so precious, we don't have any right to keep it to ourselves. It's an obligation to us to make it known however we can. How do we do what Andrew does? How do we bring our brother to the Lord, or our sister, or our friend, or our neighbor, or whatever? We have to be open to how the Holy Spirit works, because you can't force people. You can't drag people into the church or force them to receive sacraments. But no, we become instruments pointing to Jesus, not getting in his way, but serving the great work of making him known. That's evangelization. So that, I think, is a good lesson as we prepare for Epiphany now. The Magi, we'll see tomorrow, how do they find Jesus? Well, first of all, the star, symbol of anyone or anything that leads us to God. And then the scriptures, and then finally they find Jesus in the arms of Mary. So this is a Christmas message to us, how to find Jesus and how to help others find him.